Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6, we'll be reading verses 15 through 17 in just a moment. We're continuing our vision series, Heart for the House, 2024, the year of more. We've been looking at expecting more because God can do more. We've been looking at reaching more because God wants us to reach more people for Him. We've been looking at loving more because God wants us to overflow in love towards one another. We've been looking at giving more because God wants us to give generously and sacrificially. And this morning we're looking at envisioning more. many of the things that were once thought to be impossible are now considered part of normal life. But it took people who could see what others could not see to bring these things into existence that were once thought impossible. For instance, it took a Columbus looking for a new trade route to sail the ocean without falling off the end of the earth because everybody thought that the earth was flat, right? It took people like the Wright brothers to believe that a person could fly through the air in a machine when nobody else thought that it could be done. It took scientists putting a man on the moon, and it required them having unbelievable vision, faith and courage to accomplish it. You look at things like the incandescent light bulb, the telephone, the television, the computer, and the internet. These are just a few of those impossibilities that have now become a part of routine daily life. But it took people who could see beyond what was and believe what everybody else said was not possible in order to accomplish these incredible technological advancements which have benefited all of our lives. If these people could have such vision and belief that it could be done and could make such an impact on the world in the natural, relying upon their own strength and resources, how much more should we as believers who serve a great and mighty God have such vision, faith, and courage that we can change the world? Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. We need to see more. We need to envision more in 2024. Read with me, if you will, 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning at verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, the backdrop of this story is that it begins back in the palace of Syria as a frustrated king named Ben-Hadad angrily accuses his officers that there is a spy among them. And the reason he accused them of spying is because every attack that they planned against Israel, God informed his prophet, and the prophet informed the king, and so Israel was able to counterattack before their enemy had the opportunity to do so. So one of Ben-Hadad's officers said, "No, king, there is a prophet in Israel who has been telling the king every word that you speak in private." God had been revealing the king's plans to Elisha. Ben-Hadad quickly dispatches a great army with horses and chariots to capture one man, a preacher, a prophet of God, who lived in a little town called Dothan. And the residents of Dothan awoke to discover the Syrian army surrounding their tiny little village, and fear struck their hearts as they felt the very real threat of an enemy invasion. In despair, Elisha's servant cries out, "Oh my Lord, what are we going to do?" To Elisha's servant, it must have appeared as though Elisha had snapped, because he said, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, even though Elijah's words were understandable, his words were incomprehensible, because the servant could only see Syria's army. He couldn't see what Elijah was seeing in the spirit. And to the servant, the situation demanded some kind of action, some kind of reaction, some kind of preparation to flee or to fight or to plea for your life, some kind of defensive action. Surely they needed to do something. They needed to take some action. Yet Elisha merely starts to pray. And this is his prayer. Oh Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And Elijah's servant must have thought, that's precisely the problem. I do see. I see the Syrian army. It's obviously before my eyes. What needs to happen, Elisha, is you need to get out of the tent and you need to see. Because you're not being realistic. But then suddenly, the servant's spiritual eyes were open, and he saw something that he hadn't seen before. He saw a vast army of flaming chariots, which greatly outnumbered the Syrian army that stood before them poised for battle. The Syrian army, despite its strength, was rendered harmless. That day, Dothan was saved, and his Elisha and his servant were spared. Let me tell you something. Our eyesight is generally excellent. It's good enough to see in great detail the reality of our situation or our problems that cause our heart to tremble. But in reality, we are often spiritually blind, unable to see God's plan, God's power, God's provision, and God's deliverance. That's why we fear. That's why we become anxious. That's why we doubt. So we are in need of spiritual vision to see that those who are with us are more than those who are with them. My prayer today for our church is that the Lord would open our eyes that we might see. My prayer is that God would grant each and every one of us, as he did Elijah's servant, spiritual vision. Because godly vision is essential to victory. Godly vision is essential if God's will is to be accomplished in our lives and our church. Without godly vision, we will be like Elijah's servant, afraid and without hope. Because Elisha's servant saw what every natural human eye would see. He saw an inescapable, insurmountable, and impossible problem. And that's what many of us see in front of us. But Elisha saw something different. Because he saw not with human eyes, but he saw with spiritual eyes. And he encouraged his servant to not be afraid, because the reality was that the enemy was the one that was outnumbered. Elisha was not surrounded. The enemy was surrounded. Amen. Hallelujah. We sing a song, I'm surrounded, right? Yes. Surrounded by God. Yes. And we need to walk in that truth. One of the greatest tools that the enemy uses against us is fear and intimidation. He wants us to feel overwhelmed by our problems, by our situation, by his strength, by the impossibility of the circumstance we face. He wants us to feel weak, incapable, inadequate, unable, because he knows that fear disheartens and fear paralyzes. Fear prevents us from having faith, because you can't walk in fear and have faith at the same time. So that's why the enemy uses fear against our lives. If you could cut this back just, yes, thank you. Fear will keep us from doing what God has called us to do. We need to have our eyes open to see the power of the Lord that is on our side, so that we will not be afraid to go where God sends us, to serve where God places us, to say what God tells us, or to do what God commands us to do. Hallelujah. Is it any wonder that the scripture says, without a vision, the people perish? When we don't see what God wants to do, when we don't see the greatness of the God that is with us, we perish. Once the servant had his eyes opened, he not only saw the Lord's army, but he also saw the whole situation from a different perspective, and he experienced a very quick revival of his own spirits. Instead of being downcast and frightened, his spirits were lifted, and he now had the confidence that victory was at hand. And I pray that we would experience the same revival of spirit, so that we would have that confidence and certainty. May God open our eyes that we might see that God would grant us the spiritual vision to see his vision for this house. That we would be a church not contained within walls, with arms reaching into every sector of our community, with the life-transforming gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, to make fully devoted followers of Christ who love God, love one another, love to serve, and love the lost. This is the vision that God has for this house. And I pray that each and every one of us would see that vision for ourselves and the part that we are to play in that vision, and that we would see that the power of God is with us to accomplish all that he has called us to do. Amen. And the story of Elijah and his servants reveals to us several important principles of spiritual vision. First of all, spiritual vision always sees beyond the natural. Spiritual vision always sees beyond the natural. Natural vision sees what is. It just sees the reality of what is before us. Natural vision looks only at the present circumstances and cannot see beyond to what can be, what should be, and what God desires to be. The armies of Syria were real. The horses and the chariots were real. They were right there in front of them. Folks, anybody can see present realities, but it takes faith to have the spiritual vision to see God's reality. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Spiritual vision opens us up to a whole new world of possibilities, because with God, nothing is impossible. Spiritual vision sees beyond what is to what God intends to be, to what God desires to do in our lives and in our church, if we'll just have the faith to walk in it. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. God has given a great vision for this house. I'm going to say it again so it'll get in our spirit. God's vision for this house is to be a church not contained within walls. Folks, we gather on Sunday mornings to be encouraged, to be equipped. We gather on Wednesdays to be encouraged, to be equipped, so that we walk out these doors and then we are scattered to be his church in this community, to take the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit to this world. God has called us to be a church not contained within walls. Hallelujah. And I see that vision being fulfilled. Praise God. I don't know if y'all saw it. I shared it on my Facebook page and the church Facebook page. But we were recently written up in the National AG News, the Assemblies of God News. Brother Spencer Jones, who is a nationally appointed Assembly of God evangelist, ministered here in January, and he's ministered here this past several years, and his passion is just evangelism. He did an evangelism workshop for us, but he was talking to Ike, our evangelism ministry leader, and he was talking to myself and what God is doing in the church, and he was saying, what is happening here in New Life, he said, is not happening anywhere here as far as evangelism in the United States. He said, I visit hundreds of churches every year, and what you are doing in evangelism and the souls that are being saved is not happening anywhere else. So he, unbeknownst to me, called our national office at the AG News Department, spoke to the main editor, and that editor contacted myself and Ike and interviewed us, and they did a nice article for us that was posted up online on our Assemblies of God page. But it was about what God is doing here. And the article, when I was talking with the editor, he was even saying that, you know, we had 300 people saved in the church in our services last year. We had 108 saved through our evangelism team ministry on Saturdays. And we had about 400 or so saved through the personal witness of individuals. And the editor was saying that some entire districts of the Assemblies of God do not have those numbers. An entire district of all the churches in that district do not have that many people coming to Christ. I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying that by faith, when we see the vision God has for us, by faith, when we start to walk it out, we will see God do great and mighty things in our midst. Amen? God has called us to be a church not contained within walls, and we are seeing that vision being realized as we are going out from this place to reach into every sector of this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit to produce fully devoted followers of Christ who love God, love one another, love to serve, and love to reach the lost. God's vision for this church is that we would impact South Florida and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are reaching the world through the missionaries that we support, more than 50 missionaries that we support on a monthly basis. But in my spirit, I see a day when this community will be different. This community will be changed because of the number of souls that have been brought into the kingdom of God through the outreach of this church body. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. That's what I see in my spirit, but the reality that most of us see before us is we see a church of just a few hundred people meeting in a rented facility. We see the cost of construction, and it seems impossible. We say, like Habakkuk did, how long, O Lord, how long? How long before we'll be able to build? How long before we'll be able to get into our building? But folks, the building is not the vision. Souls are the vision. The building is a tool, amen, to facilitate the vision. But what we tend to do is we see the problem, not the promise. We see the reality, not the vision. But God wants to open our eyes so that we can have spiritual vision. This story reminds us not to be blinded by the lie that what we see with the natural eye is everything that there is. There's a very real unseen world, and that is more real than the world that we see around us. To live by faith doesn't involve being oblivious to the reality of the world around us, but it embodies allowing the reality of the unseen world to influence how we live and what we do. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, we have a tendency to look at the things that are seen. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. Folks, we've got our eyes fixed on the wrong thing. We are focused on the things that are seen. But that which is unseen is more real and more powerful than the things that are seen. We need to refocus our eyes. Let me ask you this question. What would you do for God if you saw a huge host of heaven's army standing with you and backing you up? What would you do for God? Let me ask you this question. What is the greatest thing that you could imagine doing for God, that you dream of God doing through our church, if there was a mighty army of angels fighting for us? What is the greatest thing that you could imagine God doing? Because he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or imagine. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. So the greatest thing that you could imagine God doing through you and through this church, think bigger. Because God is able to do so much more. That's why, folks, I pray that God would open our eyes that we might see. Not that we would see the things that are seen, but we would see that which is unseen. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Spiritual vision also sees beyond the obstacles. There is always going to be a spiritual battle mounted against the work of God and those who serve him. I want you to see, Elijah is at home. He's in the place that he had made his ministry headquarters, a little nondescript town called Dothan. He was being faithful to God. He was prophesying to the people of Israel. He was interceding. He was serving as a watchman to warn the king and the people of Israel about the enemy's movements and attack. God would speak to him, and God would reveal him into him the details of the enemy's plans. And then he would go and advise the king of Israel, and the enemy was defeated. And it made Ben-Hadad furious because he thought he had a spy. And when he found out it was a prophet named Elijah, he took his whole army to go and capture this little preacher. The enemy mounted an attack. During the night, a whole army had quickly taken up positions circling the village of Dothan, surrounding Elisha. Wherever the servants of God are faithfully and diligently doing the work of God, let me tell you something, the enemy will attack. If the enemy is not attacking, that means you need to be concerned. Because the enemy only gets mad when you're doing something for the kingdom of God. If you're sitting idly by, the enemy says, I'll leave them alone because they're not making an impact anyhow. Hallelujah. So is the enemy attacking you or is he leaving you alone? Hallelujah. So the enemy mounts this attack. Wherever the people of God are fervently interceding, they're faithfully witnessing, they are serving and working for the kingdom of God, wherever damage is being done to the kingdom of darkness, you can be sure the enemy will strike. And the enemy is going to do everything in his power to neutralize churches that are working on fulfilling the mission of Jesus Christ. The enemy is going to attack Christians that are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Now talk about overkill. They sent a whole army after one unarmed man whose only weapon was the word of God. Wow. Hallelujah. Could it be that the enemy is more afraid of us than we realize? Hallelujah. You see, the devil knows this truth. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Hallelujah. The enemy knows that the word of God says, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. The enemy knows that through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been made more than conquerors. Hallelujah. So the enemy does not take lightly a praying, interceding, Holy Ghost-filled, word-walking, faith-filled church or believer. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. As Elisha's servant went out that morning, probably to draw water for breakfast, suddenly his eyes focused beyond the well to this great army, and it startled him. It filled him with fear. His hair probably stood on end. Everywhere he looked, fierce soldiers, warriors, an entire army, chariots surrounding this little town and Elisha's tent. The servant was filled with fear. Sometimes we too can see the greatness of the task, the fierceness of the battle, and experience fear. Did you know someone has said that there are 365 fear knots in the Bible? Now, I didn't count it personally, but I know there are a bunch of fear knots in the Bible. Have you ever read that? Fear not, do not be afraid. Amen. There's a bunch of them. But someone said they took the time to count it, and there were 365 fear knots. And they said that's because there's one fear knot for every day of the year. Hallelujah. God has not given us a spirit of fear, hallelujah, but he has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Fear does not come from God. Fear is Satan's tool, hallelujah. We need to fear the Lord. We don't need to fear our enemy. We don't need to fear our circumstances. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, the enemy has been defeated. He may roam about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But as someone said, he can roar, but he can't bite because Jesus detoothed him at the cross. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. How often we Christians look at our problems with worldly eyes. We feel totally surrounded by problems and difficulties on every side. Sort of like a downed paratrooper in enemy territory, outnumbered, running low on ammunition, feeling like this is it. This is the end for me. We might as well get the white flag ready because we're done for. We just have to surrender because we are looking at the problem instead of the problem solver. Hallelujah. Folks, we need our eyes to be open. We need better spiritual eyesight. We need the ability to see our God who is with us. And he said, though you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Though you go through the flood, you shall not be drowned. For I am with you. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. We need the ability to see that God is with us. We need the ability to see what God is doing among us. We need the ability to see what God desires to do in and through us because it is so much bigger than anything that we can think or imagine. Hallelujah. I love the faith expressed in 2 Kings 6:16. Elijah simply says, "Don't be afraid." His servant comes running in. Master, we're surrounded by the enemy. What are we going to do? He's in a panic. And Elisha doesn't get, you know, all riled up or anything. He just says, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Hallelujah. Praise God for that verse. Here they were surrounded by all those enemies. And Elisha said, don't worry. There are more for us than against us. No matter what our present circumstances may be, no matter what obstacles may stand before us, no matter what hindrances, no matter how the enemy may attack, no matter what he may mount against us, no matter how impossible our present circumstances may be, the attack of the enemy is just confirmation that we are on the right track. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. We need to look beyond the obstacles. We need to look beyond the battle. And we need to see with eyes of faith that God is with us. God has already provided all of the resources necessary to overcome and to accomplish his purpose. Hallelujah. A third principle we learn from this experience of Elisha is that spiritual vision involves others. God's vision cannot be accomplished alone. Elisha could see the armies of the Lord's host, but his servant couldn't. And he needed his eyes open. We need to pray for our eyes to be opened, to see beyond the natural, to see what God is doing, to see what God desires to do. And we need to pray that God will open our eyes and give us spiritual sight, spiritual vision. No matter what our present circumstances may seem like, God still has a plan. You know, folks, I drive by our church property every week because I pick up my groceries on the corner there at the neighborhood Walmart market, and I drive purposely along Sterling Road, and I pass by the property, and I am praying as I pass by, and I can see in my spirit, not only the building, but in my spirit, I can see the lives that are going to be touched. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. We need to pray, God, open my eyes that I might see. No matter what our present situation may seem, God is working and God still has a plan. Hallelujah. You might say in your heart, it's impossible. There is no way, but God is greater than any obstacle or opposition that we face. That's why second Saturday in April, we're going to have a prayer meeting, not here, but there. And we're going to pray down every obstacle that's standing in our way. Hallelujah. And we're going to pray that God is going to make a way to expedite, hallelujah, the building of our building. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see that there is nothing impossible with you. Elisha prayed for his servant's eyes to be opened. Anyone with spiritual vision realizes that the vision cannot be carried on or accomplished alone. Spiritual vision is always much greater than one person. Lord, open our eyes that we might see your vision for this house and that we might see the part that you have for us to play in that vision. Elisha prayed for God to blind the armies of Syria. And then he, this one little preacher man, led the entire army of Syria blind down into the midst of the capital of Israel, which was Samaria at the time. And it was a fortress city. Samaria was a fortress city, the capital of the northern kingdom, Israel. And that's where Israel's army was located. And so Elisha prays, blind the enemy, and then he leads their entire army into the midst of this fortress so that they are now surrounded by Israel's army. Then he says, open their eyes, Lord. And to their surprise, when they opened their eyes, they were in a pickle. Because they were surrounded by the armies of Israel. But it was not enough for Elisha alone to see that vision. It was not enough for Elisha's servant to see the vision. But it had to involve all of Israel. Church, it's not enough for me to see the vision alone because I can't accomplish it alone. It's not even enough for our leaders and our vision team to see the vision. Every one of us has to have our spiritual eyes open so that we can see the vision that God has for this house, so that we can pray towards that vision, so that we can believe for that vision, so that we can work towards that vision, so that it will become reality. When we see the vision, it will inspire our faith. How do you think the people of Israel felt that day when they saw the blinded Syrian army being led helpless by a preacher into their midst? Hallelujah. Their faith must have risen as they say, what a mighty God we serve. And when we see the vision of God, not only does it inspire our faith, it initiates us to act. What do you think the Israeli army did the moment they saw the Syrian army circled in their midst? They acted. Amen? They did something, whether they were going to take them prisoner of war or they were going to attack them, whatever they were going to do. Elisha knew that God's plan required everyone to participate. So he led the Syrian army right down in the midst of Samaria so that when they opened their eyes, they were surrounded by the troops of Israel and would be taken prisoner of war. So overwhelming was the impact of what happened that the Bible says that Syria did not trouble Israel for a long time thereafter. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. That's how powerful our God is. Folks, if we pray together, if we work together, if we give together, if we stand together in faith, the enemy will be defeated and God's kingdom vision will be advanced for new life. Hallelujah. Church, we need to envision more in 2024. We need God to open our eyes that we might see the vision that he has for his church and the part that he has for us to play. We need our eyes to be open to see beyond what presently is to what our great God desires to do in our midst, that we might see the incredible things God has in store for our future, the lives that he desires to touch as the vision of God is advanced here at New Life. That we might see beyond the obstacles, the impossibilities, and the attacks of the enemy. That we might see the promise of God. That we might see our part in the fulfillment of God's vision for this house. And that we might step up in faith and take action to pray, to serve, to give, to witness, in order that that vision may be fulfilled. And at the end of the service, we're going to have a commitment to the vision. And there are different ways that we can commit to the vision, but two specific ways that we will present to you is, one, you can take one of these blue cards on the back of your pew, and you can say, you know what, I want to get involved in serving. I want to get involved in ministry. And you can check off whichever area of ministry you would like to get involved so that we can work together to build God's church and see his kingdom fulfilled. If you weren't here yet last week and you didn't get an opportunity to do so, you can also take one of these faith promise cards. Let God speak to your heart and make a commitment financially to the building fund. We all are called to tithe, to give 10% of our income in worship to the Lord, but this is an offering above the tithe that God would speak to your heart. And it's a faith promise. So a faith promise means, God, I'm believing you to provide it. And when you supply it, I'll give it. And folks, you're off the hook. If God doesn't bring it in, don't give it. But you know what? If you have faith to believe it, God will bring it in. But when he brings it in, don't buy that 90-inch HDK ultra smell-o-vision TV. Amen? When it comes in, you're going to give it, all right? So two ways for you to respond this morning: by serving, by giving. So you pray about that right now. And as you're doing that, I want to talk to everybody, because the first step to having spiritual vision, the first step to being able to see God's vision for your life and for his church, is to have a relationship with God. You know, we are all sinners. And because of our sin, we have been cut off from God. So we can't hear God. We can't see the wonderful plans that God has for us. We're cut off from God because of sin. That's the whole reason that Jesus came from heaven to earth, that he gave his life on the cross for our sins, so that when we repent, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, when we repent of our sins, turn to him in faith and say, Lord, forgive me, our sins are washed away, and we are restored to right relationship with God. We are born again as a child of God. We are brought into right relationship with God. And that is the beginning of being able to have spiritual vision. It's the beginning of being able to see God's plans for our life and for his church. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here today and you would say, pray for me, Pastor, because I want to have spiritual vision. I want to have a relationship with God so that I can see his plans for my life, so that I can see his vision of what he desires to do in my life and in this church. I want to come to Jesus. I want him to forgive me of my sins. And I want to have a relationship with God. Or maybe you came to him years ago and you've drifted away and you need to come back. In either case, if you would say, pray for me, Pastor, I want a relationship with God. I want to repent of my sins and place my faith in Jesus so that I can have a relationship with God. If that's you, just slip your hand up and you can put it right back down. Hallelujah. There's one hand right over here. Is there anyone else? There's another hand right over here. Is there anyone else? All right. I'm going to have another hand right here. All right, all of those that raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing, is just pray a simple prayer with me. It's not my words, but your heart and faith. As you are sincerely asking God to do this, he's going to do exactly what you ask him to do. Church, pray this along with us to encourage those that are praying it for the first time today. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life, and I turn to you in faith. I confess that I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I invite you to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. We congratulate you on making the best decision of your life. Amen. And we welcome you to the family of God. We do want to help you to continue in this journey of faith, because the prayer you just prayed is a beginning, not an end. And so in order to help you know the next steps to take, we want to send you free of charge a little booklet that will help you understand the prayer that you just prayed and the next steps to keep growing in your relationship with the Lord. But to send you that booklet, we need your email address. So would you just text your email address? If you just prayed that prayer, text your email address to the number on the screen so that we can send you free of charge this little booklet to help you continue to grow in your journey with the Lord. And once again, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. For those of us who are already believers, I want to ask you, have you grasped God's vision for this house? Can you see beyond what presently is to see what God desires to do in this house and in and through your life to fulfill his vision? I would encourage each of us today to say, Lord, open my eyes that I might see your vision for this house, and that I might see the part that you want me to play in it. If that's your heart's desire, would you just stand to your feet right where you are? Lord, open my eyes and help me see beyond what is to the vision that you have for this house and to the part that you would have me to play in it. Right there where you stand, talk to God from your own heart and say, Lord, open my eyes and help me to see your vision. Talk to him from your heart. Heavenly Father, I just thank you today for each and every person that is standing before your presence this morning. I thank you for the faith in their hearts, for the openness of their hearts, Lord God, to say, God, I want to be a part of your vision. I want to see your vision for this house through the eyes of faith. And I want to see the part that you would have me to play in that vision. I want to see, Lord God, what you are doing in our midst and what you desire to do through me, Lord God. And Father, I want to see with faith and expectancy your great power that is working among us to overcome every obstacle and every work of the enemy, to make what seems in the natural impossible, to make it possible through you, Lord God. Help us, Lord. Open our eyes and give us spiritual vision that we might believe, that we might pray, that we might give, and that we might work together to see your vision become reality. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you be seated for just a moment? And while you're seated, I want to encourage you to take one of those blue cards or one of those red cards, just fill it out. And before you leave today, hand it to any of our ushers. You're making a commitment to the Lord to say, I want to get involved in your vision. I want to see it fulfilled for this house. As you're filling out those cards, let's worship together with the worship team.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you. And we hope you will join us again.